Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kevin's Take, the good, the bad, and the ugly from yesterday's Washington Commanders game.
Let's go! Let's go!
Here's Kevin.
One of the best fourth down teams in the NFL this year has Mariota taken off and sprinting into the red zone. Down by three, less than 30 seconds left.
Down by three, 19-16, fourth and one, read option, keeper. Man, did he cut that up. He looked great, too, on that run. And then two plays later, he threw a touchdown pass, 2 seconds to go in the game to Terry McLaurin for the win. All right, my game take, which we'll get to now, things I liked, things I didn't like, and several other observations following Washington's season-ending 23-19 win over the Cowboys. That snapped, by the way, a three-game losing skid against Dallas. They had lost, what, six out of their last seven, I think, against the Cowboys. I know that that was important. It's funny. I don't feel that emotion as much as I used to when it comes to the Dallas thing. I just want our team to be good. I'd love that thing to become big again to where those emotions are legitimate and genuine again. I just wanted them to get the sixth seed. So between our game and the Green Bay-Chicago game, one of them needed to come in the right way. They both ended up coming in the right way to get us into that spot to avoid Philadelphia. Look, if they had had to go to Philadelphia, and that probably would have been the Sunday night game as well, I'm guessing. I think they wanted Jaden either in the Saturday night or the Sunday night spot. It wasn't going to be the Monday night game. That was always going to be the loser of last night's game at the four seed. Turns out to be the Rams. Rams and Vikings on the Monday night game. They've already played once this year, and the Rams beat them on Thursday night football back in, I don't know when that was, October, mid to late October. Really just wanted them to have a swing at Tampa or L.A., and the reason being, I think they legitimately have a chance to win Sunday night. I do. I don't think this is a terrible matchup at all. More on that coming up. All right, let me get to my game take. What I liked, what I didn't like, and other stuff. So what I liked, you know, after just a brutal first half against Dallas, really both sides of the ball, but on offense, that was not good. More on that coming up. But the second half offense, you know, was really good. Marcus Mariota threw for 161, rushed for 56, accounted for 217 yards in 30 minutes on just four second half possessions, in part because the defense just couldn't get off the field against the Cowboys until it got to the red zone, which was good. But four second-half possessions for Washington offensively, three touchdowns. You know, the drives were 70 yards, 70 yards, and 91 yards. They were 4 for 6 on third down after the break, 1 for 1, the play you just heard, on fourth down. They were 3 for 3 in the red zone. I thought Cliff Kingsbury made some changes at halftime. I thought they went a lot more with quick stuff in the second half. I was screaming for it in the first half, and they got to it a little bit there, but there was too much drop back in the first half against a team that just once again, two games against the Cowboys dominated the line of scrimmage, both sides of the football. But I thought Cliff did a good job getting the ball out of Mariota's hands in the second half quickly for the most part. The second half offensive performance. When you have the ball four times and you score three touchdowns and none of them were set up by short fields, you've got to go long distances on all of those possessions. That is really, really productive. And it was a nice change from what we saw in the first half. Marcus Mariota specifically is on the list of things that I loved from the game yesterday. 12 for 15 for 161 yards, two touchdowns. He had one flat out dropped by John Bates. Five rushes, 56 yards. As I mentioned, in just four possession chances, he generated 217 total yards. There were a couple of ugly moments. That one drive in which they had to punt, Marcus was bumbling and stumbling around to the tune of 25 yards and lost yardage on two sacks. But that was the only, you know, it's kind of like, I think the first play in the Carolina game, didn't he get sacked, I think, on the first play, or it was a read option loss on the first play. But after that, you know, everything settled down. He had one bad possession and three great possessions. Look, that 4th-and-1 33-yard run with 33 seconds left in the game, obviously crucial. You get stopped, it's game over. And he looked really good as a runner. Marcus Mariota is older now, but not super old. What he always has been great at is he's always had really good feel as a dual-threat quarterback. You know, that's why this Kingsbury system is perfect for him. And we saw it in the Carolina game when he had to come in, and we saw it in the second half yesterday. He has really good vision. He's got very good decision-making skills as a dual-threat quarterback in the zone read game. And he's got really good speed still. Very good quickness in short spaces. By the way, strength to break a tackle, as he did on the read option keeper touchdown run. He was about to get stopped, but he broke a tackle. And the speed is, you know, maybe not Oregon speed, but Marcus Mariota is an athlete, man. Always has been. The RPO touchdown throw to Ertz was not his best throw, but it's an RPO, which means you got to get rid of it quickly. You got to make that decision quickly. The ball's got to be out quickly so that you don't have ineligibles downfield, and Ertz made a really good catch. The throw was certainly good enough. There was a 3rd-and-3 to Terry on the drive where he ended up scoring on the read option keeper to give him the 16-12 lead. Loved that throw. He had a quick throw to Eckler on a 3rd-and-3 that was really nice. You know, he had Bates on a good throw that Bates dropped. Drops were a problem yesterday for certainly in the first half as well. And not all the balls thrown by Jaden, one of them thrown by De'Ami Brown. But I thought Mariota's poise on that final drive, I mean, 11 plays, 91 yards. And then, you know, faced with, you know, we're going to take a shot here with 6 seconds to go from the five, which they should, but it's got to be a quick throw. You know, it can't be one of those where you're reading and you're progressing, which, by the way, he had a really good progression read throw to Eckler in the game. And I think Eckler had to be the third progression, if not beyond that. But the poise to understand the game situation, there was one nit to pick on that final drive, which I'll get to a little bit in a bit. But, you know, quick fade, got to be out quickly. You got 6 seconds. You can't let the clock run out. The ball was perfectly thrown to Terry. And Terry made a great hands catch. We don't always see that with Terry. That was a great hands catch. This was an outstanding effort from Marcus Mariota. He is an excellent backup quarterback for our team because of the system in particular. He's obviously been a phenomenal mentor to the rookie quarterback all season long. We saw the exchange with the two of them last week in Atlanta with Jaden being mic'd up for the game. Marcus Mariota in relief gets an A. I mean, if not an A+, he was really outstanding. And we've now had two experiences with him this year in meaningful football, and he has really performed well. I thought he was outstanding in relief. And look, I know a lot of you were not in favor of Mariota. I thought it made a lot of sense because of the system. Bobby Johnson obviously had him in Philadelphia. That was a big part of why Marcus ended up coming here. By the way, let me just recommend something for those of you who haven't read it. Sam Fortier wrote a really good piece on Mariota last weekend, I believe. And it talks a lot about the anxiety issues that Mariota had in Atlanta after he got benched. Remember, Denton, when we were watching the quarterback Netflix series and Mariota went AWOL after he got benched for Desmond Ridder in Atlanta? And then all of a sudden on the final two or three episodes of that quarterback thing with Mahomes, Kirk, and Mariota, he just disappeared from it. He actually did go AWOL. But there were some interesting reasons for it. And his career was almost over after that, and almost over in Philadelphia. It's an interesting story. He's very, very well-liked by everybody. Marcus Mariota, A, if not an A-plus yesterday in relief. Terry McLaurin on the list of things that I liked. Obviously, the second half. I mean, it was starting to get a little bit dicey there. You know, we had gone six quarters, four last week and two yesterday, where he had two total catches for 10 yards. You know, so the connection between he and Jaden was off again in that first half. Terry could have pulled in a one pass that he flat out dropped, and Jaden, you know, led him a little bit too much. Just didn't. The same issue they had last week against the Falcons, they seem to be having in the first half. And then Mariota comes in, and Terry ends up with seven catches for 57 yards in the second half, including the game winner, including the third and four on the final drive, which was a great catch. Eight catches, 62 yards. That's not like a dominant performance, but seven for 57 coming after halftime was. And, of course, he ended up setting the franchise record for touchdown receptions in a season with his 13th. So his record-setting day, his productive second half, on the list of things that I liked. Terry was outstanding, and I loved to see the hands catch from him on that final touchdown. You know, he's not a natural or not a typical hands catcher. You know, he's an arms and a chest catcher more than he is a hands catcher. That was a hands catch. And by the way, the only way he makes that catch is to reach out and snag it with both hands. Loved it. On the list of things that I liked, well, you've got to say defensively that it was not a good day. However, red zone defense, 1-for-6 Dallas was in the red zone. That's encouraging. What's discouraging is that the Dallas Cowboys with Trey Lance got to the red zone 6 times in the game. More on that coming up. But they stopped them 5 times. Now, it wasn't all them. The first stop was a ball that Daron Payne tipped, and then it was nearly picked off by Luvu. Luvu should have had it. I think that's like it's got to be at least 3 picks this year, right, that Luvu's had right in his hands that he hasn't been able to pull in. But that forced the Cowboys into a field goal. After the return fumble by Crowder, which, you know, Luke McCaffrey assisted on. Chin got a really good sack. I love Jeremy Chin as a player. He and Quan Martin, who didn't play yesterday because of illness, they're actually not a bad safety pairing. And Chin really hits. And that was a big-time sack in the red zone. That forced another field goal. Look, they got completely lucky at the end of the first half. I mean, fourth and goal. You know, Trey Lance has a wide-open Rico Dowdle. Wide open. He's not even being pressured. He just pulled the string on it. It was such a choke throw. Wide open for a touchdown. But that counts as a red zone stop. They had the big sack on the first drive of the second half where Fowler Jr., who I thought was pretty good yesterday, got pressure. John Allen ended up getting the sack. There was another field goal stop, red zone stop, when it was on the field goal that made it 12-10. Look, they got off the field there, but I think a lot of that was on Trey Lance. He was so late on a couple of throws to open receivers, including Ferguson on the play that the Cowboys challenged. But that was 5 red zone stops on 6 red zone trips. That's a good result. Not all because of great defense, but it was critical to the outcome of the game because the Cowboys obviously could have and probably should have ended up with more than just one touchdown on six red zone trips, and that would have been the difference in the game. Let me just point out a couple of other players that I thought were solid in the game. I thought Ertz, once again, was solid. I think Zach Ertz is so important to this team. I thought Austin Eckler, you know, I didn't know this until I just pulled it up because I was looking at snap counts. I knew he was out there a lot, but did you guys realize he was out there for 60% of the offensive snaps in the game? What that tells you is they all understand how vital Austin Eckler is to their playoff chances. And they wanted to make sure that going into next week, they had number 30 at full speed, at full health. Because if they knew that for sure before yesterday, he wouldn't have taken 35 snaps. But the reason he took 35 snaps is because they wanted to see it, because they know how badly they've missed him and how badly they need him. I thought he looked spry. I thought he looked quick. I thought he looked good. There weren't a lot of opportunities to run the football, as there haven't been for some of our backs, but he was better than Brian Robinson Jr. running the football on his two or three carries. I think he had three carries, 12 yards, 4 yards a carry. Had a couple of catches, too. Who else on offense? Ertz, I mentioned. Eckler, I mentioned. Mariota, Terry. Look, I like De'Ami Brown every time the ball's in his hands, and he threw a perfect ball to Zacchaeus for a touchdown. I wish they had saved that play for next week. Defensively, Fowler Jr. stood out to me. Wagner stood out to me. Chin stood out to me. And San Ristil kind of stood out to me, made some plays. I didn't think San Ristil was great throughout the day. Wagner, by the way, I really love Wagner when they turn him loose as a pass rusher. Same thing I feel about Luvu as well. Fowler Jr. has become very difficult to block. I mean, let's be honest. Ultimately, Luvu and Wagner were critical. Biotish, critical free agent acquisitions. Fowler Jr. was the one, we're not really sure, him, Armstrong, Cleveland Farrell, you know, one-year deals. Fowler Jr.'s been a menace as a pass rusher this year, and that's going to play big in this upcoming game against Tampa. Yeah, so that's basically it on the things I liked. I mean, Tressway had a couple of really good punts. He punted a lot in the first half, man. All right. When we come back, we'll get to the list of things that I had a problem with, and there was a lot. And it's concerning heading into next week. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are on the Odyssey app, and if you download the Odyssey app, you can listen to us whenever you want, wherever you go, and you can leave us a voicemail message if you'd like, and if it's really good, we'll play it. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980.
Commanders get their 12th win of the season yesterday, the most since 1991, with a 23-19 victory over the Dallas Cowboys, thanks to a Marcus Mariota touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin with 2 seconds remaining. It was McLaurin's 13th touchdown reception of the season. He's now the single-season receiving touchdown leader in franchise history. The Commanders will play the Buccaneers on January 12th. On Sunday Night Football in Tampa. It's Black Monday in the NFL. The Jaguars fired Doug Peterson, but are retaining general manager Trent Baalke. The Patriots yesterday fired Gerard Mayo after just one season. Shockingly, the Giants are retaining both Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. In Cincinnati, the Bengals fired, well, basically every defensive coach, including defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo. And that's what's trending.